Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Bird Show.
So yesterday, I had a face-to-face chat conversation with the oldest person I have ever talked to in my life. 93 years old.
That's an impressive lifespan right
93,
there.
93. Amanda's grandfather.
Ooh, good for her, because hopefully she caught some of that, you know,
right?
Getting old DNA.
Man, I tell you what.
And why would that be important, Kristen?
So you live a long life, man. So you can like, hey, you mean I can maybe live into my 90s? That's amazing.
The last thing he said to me during our conversation was about, it floored me, and I thought it was the funniest thing. But let me tell you this. I couldn't wait to meet him. She said that he, at 93 years old, was like so still with it, like sharp as a whip, she said, right? So the only real conversations lately or my experience with older people has been my parents that have dementia and are not, they are deteriorating quickly, to be honest with you, right? So I was expecting 93, 95-year-old, feeble, not being able to remember things, long lulls in conversation. I kind of felt like when I went into it, I do like when I come in here, like it's kind of my job to conduct like conversations. And if somebody's struggling, then I try to help out. We all do that for each other, right? So that's what I thought it was going to be. That's always my experience now with my mom and my dad, is that they don't remember anything that you said 60 seconds before that. So when Amanda said he was, you know, he's really, really sharp still, I was thinking, okay, 93-year-old sharp. I walk in there. First of all, this 93-year-old looks like he's in his mid-70s.
Shut up.
I mean,
wow.
Yeah. Thin. He answered the door, which I was kind of surprised by. He lives by himself.
Mobile.
He lives by himself in an apartment, still drives, and drives well.
Mm.
Does everything all by himself. He's 93 years old. Like, and normally I would say, nobody over the age of 80 should be driving. This dude is a better driver than I am, I assure you.
He hasn't hit any garages or poles.
Nope.
Wow.
Nope.
Or I'm getting cars lately.
I'm getting ready to make my move and try and get in that wheel.
Seriously, right? So a fascinating, fascinating guy. And he goes on these long narratives because Amanda and Asa were there also, her son. They go into a other room because Asa's, you know, almost 5 years old, very hard to focus. So they go into a different room. So he and I'm on the couch with him facing him, and it's just he and I at this point. So I better start this conversation. And what Amanda had told me is that his life started in Mexico and ended up at Georgia Tech in engineering school. But between that, went to California, also got accepted to Cornell, and then ended up coming to Georgia and going to Georgia Tech. So I led with that. Like, I am really looking forward to hearing this story on how you started in Chihuahua, Mexico, and ended up at Georgia Tech. That's all I needed to say.
He took it from there?
Took it from there, man. The amount of detail that he dates. He was telling me about his Georgia Tech apartment and brought me into, with words, exactly what the apartment looked like. There's a room over here, a room over there. There's a kitchenette over here, describing the halls. He's 93 years old. When my dad was in his later years, he didn't even have that kind of detail in what he was telling me. He just couldn't remember dates, couldn't remember his kids' names, nothing. This guy, everything, every meal he had, every date he had. He was reciting for me his very first date with the woman that he was married to for 58 years, which was at the Varsity. Now I have a completely different view of the Varsity. I can't even rip on it anymore because you forget that place back in the 50s was a place people went on first dates.
That's what I was just doing the math in my head, like him talking about his first apartment at Georgia Tech. And I'm like, I'm doing the math in my head. I'm like, oh my God, he's talking about the 1950s.
Yes. I mean, and he knew all about the landscape around Georgia Tech. It was a fascinating conversation. And his history. I was like playing it out like a movie in my head because he was so descriptive of it all. He was telling me about girls that he was dating. He was telling me about his wife. I mean, it was absolute. This guy's life is absolutely fascinating, right? So as I'm walking out, this is the only question he asked me because he was literally on a roll telling me about his life, and I was gripped like it was the greatest movie I have ever watched in my life. So I get up because Ace is, you know, it's now an hour, hour and a half into the conversation. This guy's been talking the entire time with great, beautiful detail. And he says, oh, yeah, by the way, what do you do for a living? And I said, well, I do a morning radio show based out of Atlanta, and we're in a couple of cities around the country also. And he goes, I don't listen much to the radio anymore. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. And he's like, yeah, too many commercials. I'm like, I get it. I totally get it. And then he said, you know what? TV is the exact same way also. Like, I'll tell you what, if you want to do this with your radio station or you want to do this in TV, this is what you guys need to do, is because there are so many commercials in between the content, he's using these words. He says, why can't you guys just play all of the commercials at the end of the show? And I said, I don't think advertisers are going to like that very much because they know once you go to commercials, you're not going to be listening for the ads to their product. And he goes, I know that. But here's what they should do in TV. This is the part that surprised me. What they should do is they should do just commercials with just women that look like, what's that girl's name that's doing the commercials for the jeans now?
Oh, Sydney Sweeney.
I said, Sydney Sweeney. He's like, yes. Every commercial should be with somebody that looks like Sydney Sweeney. I'm like, a 93-year-old even knows about Sydney Sweeney. I thought it was fascinating.
Oh my God, Grandpa.
Grandpa knows about Sydney Sweeney, right? It was one of the most fascinating conversations I have ever had. And it really made me, I don't know what his genetics are really. I don't know if he, look, man, I'm taking 25, 30 supplements a day to keep my head and hopefully be able to live that long. I want to go back and ask what he did. Like, tell me about your life, because the things that he was telling me were kind of so stressful in his life that what doctors tell us is that stress is a killer, right? Mm-hmm. Right there. Inflammation. But he has had a very stressful life. So is it all genetics? What is he? I've got so many questions.
I am absolutely floored and shocked that you were in the presence of a very healthy, fit 93-year-old man, and the first question out of your mouth, being the health nut that you are and everything you do for longevity in life, you didn't ask him, what's the secret to a long life?
That's all I wanted to ask as soon as I got in there, but I also didn't want him to think that he was an experiment that I was just like asking questions for. Like,
yeah.
I really wanted to know him. Really,
which
wanted,
is very sweet.
Wanted to know his history, and it was just fascinating the way that he went through the history of Georgia also, how he chose Georgia Tech from Cornell. He went back to Chihuahua, Mexico, and then realized like he wanted to live in the state. So he comes back and he starts, he was in biology, and then he switched to engineering. And just to have that kind of smarts, the thing that I took away from it is, again, my experience has just been with old people. They really can't carry on a conversation, and we are so told that when you age, you're going to lose your memory. You're not going to be able to get out as you get older. And as I'm sitting with this dude, I'm like, you don't got to buy into that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a man at the gym I work at, and he is well in his late 80s, and he is 1,000% crushing more with his thighs in that whatever that machine is. So, yeah. The opportunity there is there. You just have to seize it, and you have to be, like you said, your work ethic, and you have to be focused on making it happen. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where you get the time or where you find the scenario that's organic enough, but when you can sit down with people this age,
yeah,
man, you can learn so much about A, how history repeats itself, but also how different it is. They have so much to share, but I think a lot of people have attitudes towards older people that I do. I get scared around old people.
Why?
Because my parents are so fragile that when I'm talking to people like at their age, I just like don't want them to die on my watch.
Are you kidding me?
Seriously.
Right now? Can't be held responsible.
You think they're just going to keel over right there from a bad question? Yes.
I don't really know what I'm going to say, what they're going to say.
Grandpa's going to get too excited thinking about Sydney Sweeney, and then you're going to be at the varsity just like.
I'm so nervous about it that I can't even indulge in conversation because old people kind of freak me out. And this weekend in talking to him, I just realized how ridiculous that is. So my message today is have a conversation with an old person.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Kristen, over the years, we've done like panels, right? Where we ask people questions about their own cultures, or their own lives that we don't necessarily live or live anymore. What are some of the ones we've done?
We've done the men's panel. We've done the women's panel. We've done the Ask a Race panel, which we've done with multiple races. I think we also did a religious one, Ask a Muslim, if I remember correctly.
Uh-huh. Yep.
We've also done LGBTQ+ panels. So we've covered the gamut.
Okay. I realized yesterday as we were coming in to do the show today that in my generation, Generation X, when we see things online now, we question like, what is going on with this generation? Some things just do not make sense to us at all, right?
Like skibbity toilet. No,
I still don't even know what that is.
I looked up what Skibbity Toilet Riz is, and I left more confused.
So I wanted to do a quote-unquote panel this morning with our youth group and ask you questions about Gen Z. You all fall under Gen Z, right?
I think I'm technically a millennial, but I love being young and hip, so I'm ready and excited to be here.
Rebecca identifies as Gen Z.
She's trying to blend in.
I may be 31, but I'm 25 at heart.
Hello, fellow kids.
Are there things about this generation where you scratch your head and you're just like, I need answers?
I think that's just a rite of passage. Like, as you get older, I do think Gen X does less questioning. We typically get left out of the conversation, which I'm totally fine with. Normally, it's
we
like,
old now.
Well, no, not that. No, not at all. Boomers. Boomers are the ones, like, it's always boomers judging people. And then now millennials judging Gen Z. And I'm sure Gen Z is going to judge Gen Alpha. But I have enjoyed being the outlier that is Gen X. And we're just kind of over here being like, y'all have fun with your, like, with all your judgment. We're just trying to survive.
All right. So I got questions for you guys on a whole bunch of different gamuts. And some of these came from surveys that I saw over the last couple of weeks. All right. So I want to know about your attitude about drinking. Because when I grew up, back in my day, we were getting hammered all the time.
Oh, we partied like rock stars.
Yeah, it was like almost like a badge of honor coming in on Monday and talking about puking and being hungover and the crazy ass parties we used to go to, right? Well, I have seen this shift certainly over the last couple of years. So I saw this and I wanted to ask you guys about drinking. According to a new survey, this is by Gallup. Just 54% of Americans now say they drink alcohol. That's the lowest share since Gallup began tracking this questionnaire way back in 1939, okay? In 2024, according to this survey, 42% of 12th graders reported drinking alcohol, 42%. Now you're like, 42%? 42 of 12th graders? That seems like high.
Oh, 12th graders, not 12-year-olds.
12th graders. Did I say 12-year-olds?
No, I don't think so, but that's what my brain heard. And so I just wanted you to clarify. Thank you.
I heard 12th graders.
Okay, 12th graders. 42%, but that's down from 75% in 1997.
Wow.
So does that number surprise you guys? And what's your attitude about drinking now?
It sounded high to me, but that's because I was a loser in high school and I didn't think anybody drank. So I might be the wrong person to answer that question.
I don't buy it.
You're not buying it. Not your group.
No, I mean, you look around, everyone's drinking. I think what we are better at is I think back in the day it was normal to drink and drive. I think we're done with drinking and driving.
Well, I hope so.
I think we're done.
Well, back in the day, we didn't have Uber. We didn't have Lyft. We didn't even have taxis back in the day, man.
Had your feet.
We had our feet, yeah, but you know what? That didn't seem like a real good option back in the day, so I still look at it and I'm like, how can anybody get a DUI anymore, man? It's going to cost you $13 to get home.
I truly think my generation, 94, was the last generation to actually judge other people for not drinking and be so drunk. Like in college, it was a rite of passage that you would fall out of taxis. Like someone in college was going to fall out of a taxi and we would just carry everybody back home. But now it's like my younger sisters, nobody is judging anyone for not drinking. People just say, I don't drink. And they're like, okay, that's cool. Mm. And it's really refreshing to see, honestly.
No doubt, because there was so much social pressure. And I got to be honest with you. I was guilty of that. Someone was going out with you and they weren't drinking. You gave them so much crap.
Yeah. Oh, the peer pressure was immense.
Terrible. But not your group. You're drinking high right now.
Yeah, no, but also... Yeah, we don't care if someone's not drinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was like a, not what? What are you doing out, right? Yeah. Is the drinking down because smoking is up?
Do we have more fun alternatives? Is that the question?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I mean, I think most of the people I know that don't drink, they just don't find a reason to. They don't need to. They're just naturally just effervescent, where the rest of us need to numb our feelings in order to have fun.
So it has nothing to do with like the health. Like now we know that alcohol, no amount of alcohol is actually good for you. Is that more of a concern for you guys now?
I think Gen Z is very much on the internet, so they can understand how bad something like drinking is for them. Honestly, I do not think they're replacing it with any other sort of illicit substances. I think they're just squares.
We're just losers.
Would you guys say that you are living healthier lifestyles because you have so much more information at your hands?
We've talked about this before. I think that's a ton of nonsense. You're... If people aren't drinking, it's because they've seen stuff in their past. It's not because they've read up on drinking. Everyone knows that drinking's bad.
Right.
Yeah, everyone's always known that.
Yeah. The majority of people who don't drink, in my experience, either never really started or are like me and were raging alcoholics and had to stop at some point.
Yeah, they learned a lesson. They didn't read it in a medical dictionary or whatever.
If you guys could go back into the day where there was no internet, there was no like dating apps, there was no, there was nothing, right? Way back in the day. Is there something about that that seems appealing to you guys, or do you love where you're at?
Absolutely not.
We love the internet. I think it's kind of like anything. It's like sugar, where too much of it is just too bad for you. And if you don't know how to, if you don't know how to have it in moderation, it just becomes too much. I think it's like anything that requires some level of responsibility. Just kind of like, that's how I view alcohol. Like alcohol is really fun in certain moments, but if I drank every single day, all day, every day, then yeah, you're going to look at that and go, it's a little unhealthy.
What would you like older generations to understand about your generation? Speaking to Gen X, speaking to boomers, like everybody's talks about like how soft Gen Z is. So is there anything that you would like to say to the older generations of like, cut us a break, man?
I honestly think the one thing that people call Gen Z a lot is lazy. But I actually think Gen Z has a much better work-life balance idea for themselves. I think that they respect their time in a way that may seem very disrespectful to older generations, because that sort of new perspective is very jarring, I think, to an older generation who is like, no, you go in and you pay your dues and you clock in. But Gen Z is kind of like, no, I know my worth. And I think there's a little bit of that that the older generations could kind of absorb.
I think maybe Gen Z is trying to redefine what our purpose is in life. And I think because we have so much access to other people's experiences, I think some people are just seeing that there are other ways to live. Whereas we were raised by the Gen Xers or the boomers, and they were very much like, go, 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 do your work, put your nose down, you know, grind, work hard, all those things. Whereas I think because we have so much access to seeing like how Europeans live, or seeing how there are people that live out of their cars, I think there's just more information for people to have, to really question like what their purpose is. And like, you know, if I am going to work 20 or 80 hours a week, what is that for? Because I don't mind working 80 hours a week, but what am I getting out of it? And I think a lot of Gen Zers are wondering, if I work 80 hours a week, is that truly going to be something that's satisfying to me? And how do I create a life that is balanced, that doesn't also make me look lazy?
At least in my Gen X mind, man, when I see people from Gen Z or millennials, what really makes me nervous, at least in my eyes, again, Gen X eyes, is how socially awkward people are in conversations now. Do you guys feel that about your own generation, or is that just something strictly older people are looking at going, what are you guys talking about?
I always think about this. If you watch any of these like street interviews from the 70s or 80s, people were so articulate. Like, so look how much trouble I'm having through getting through this one sentence. Like, I don't know how they were what were they teaching them back then?
How do we talk?
They were so good at talking.
It's because they don't read. What's the last book you read, Mikey?
Geronimo Stilton.
Who is that?
Oh, that's so
it's a little cheese guy, and all the words are different colors and stuff.
Okay, now we're doomed.
Now it tracks.
Did you say the little cheese guy?
Okay, mouse, I guess you call him.
I don't know that there's any better example.
Okay. All right, I have an answer for what you wish other generations knew. Tell your stories. I don't know what this is, why like people from y'all's generation won't tell us stories from their youth. They think it's like boring or something. I want to hear them. It kind of goes along with what you're just saying. Like, I've sat there. I have three grandpas. I'll sit there all day and listen to them.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Do you think that's rare?
I don't know. I just know about me.
Because I feel like you guys are just looking at us like, oh, God, I don't want to hear that stuff from back in the day, man. That's so old school.
No, it's so weird. Like, I know, like, nothing in my parents' childhoods. Like, I feel like you guys don't talk about yours that much. Tell it.
Okay.
I'll listen.
How do you feel about the social stuff? Because what I see is, like, people not looking at each other in the eyes. When I meet somebody younger now, they don't really know how to shake a hand that well.
I don't know. Maybe I think we have a generation of people that I think really identify with like their mental illnesses. Mm. And so I think there's a lot of people that will identify with like social anxiety. And because you have so many people being vocal about it, it can be very easy for people to turn that into an identity. And maybe that fuels a lot of like those socially awkward behaviors.
Oh, that's a really good point. So let me ask you guys this. Because you guys are so much more healthy when it comes to mental health, right? Do you feel like it's talked about too much? That it's almost like, what's the word I'm looking for?
The pendulum has swung too far to the other side, and where therapy speak is now not beneficial, but it's actually,
it's enabling people.
Some of it is being mislabeled.
I've noticed something in people, which is instead of considering what do I experience that is making me suffer? It's not like, okay, I have ADHD symptoms. This is something that is affecting my day-to-day life and I need to go to a therapist or get on medication in order to resolve this. It's more so people saying, I have ADHD, I have OCD, and taking these as like identity politics. Like they consider these like identifiers and qualifiers about themselves that they want to put like at the end of their name. So it's not that they're like suffering from something that they need to fix. They're using it almost like this is my favorite color. Also, I have ADD. You know what I mean? So it's like instead of trying to resolve an issue, they think it's kind of fun. Like it's kind of cute.
I love purple and also not paying attention during conversations. Yeah.
Exactly. Those are my pronouns. ADHD.
Where do you stand with like the whole mental health thing?
I don't know nothing. I don't know.
Mikey's like, there's a lot wrong with me. I just don't know what it is.
I find that ignoring a bunch of it helps. And older generations, you push it down until it ends up giving you a heart attack at the end of your life. It seems like a pretty good way to go sometimes.
Mikey, ADHD is not going to give you...
whatever, I'm talking about the anxiety and all that stuff. Just ignore it. Just push it down. Drink it away. Do whatever you can to not bother other people. But I know that's an unpopular opinion. My apologies for saying it.
What happened to just drinking Miller Lite and ignoring your problems like the good old days?
Try it out. It's not bad.
I think it's good to acknowledge. I think it's good to talk about it, but I don't think it's good to use it as an excuse for everything that's wrong in your life. Right. Like I feel like there's a balance there because I do feel like the stigma has eroded when it comes to talking about mental health. And you know, therapy is no longer taboo, which I think is fantastic. And same with, you know, medication or if you want to go the holistic route. But like onto what you were saying, Rebecca, like I'm not anxiety Kristen. I just happen to be Kristen with anxiety. Mm-hmm. So as long as you try to take the steps to take care of it and you don't let it define you, you definitely shouldn't ignore it, Mikey.
Try it out. It's not bad.
I've been doing it my whole life, man. And I'm right back in therapy. Listen, bro.
I've gone to therapy. I hated that. I can't talk like that. I don't know. I can't get my brain to get that serious. It is a tough scene over there in therapy.
What is the most embarrassing trend that Gen Z has pushed?
Can I start?
Yes.
The worst thing ever. The worst is the floss. You remember that dance?
Yes.
Worst thing ever since. But see, this is what I always say. Everybody's the same. All the generations are the same. This is just some divisive device they get to break you up. But the underwater dance, I'm not going to demonstrate it, but you know which one I'm talking about. From the 60s, you plug your nose and you do that thing with your hand.
Yeah.
Worst thing ever. That and the floss. So see, we're all the same.
Yeah, and millennials had planking. Like, why were we just laying on...
No, that's good. I'm down with planking.
Like, why am I just laying down on this park bench for a photo? T-bowling was great back in the day when you would do the Tim Tebow thing. Was that just a Florida thing?
No, it was everywhere. You're attached to it because you went to Florida.
Yeah, like Gators. I think for us, we're going to look back on all those TikTok dances that we did in 2020 and we're going to look back and go, why were we doing that? I'm a grown adult paying taxes.
Probably LaBooBoos. I have like 8 of them, but they're embarrassing.
That's the worst.
It's just like the collection of all of these stupid little things, and I am a victim of it, but But yeah, Labubus, Sunny Angels, all those stupid little things that like the internet forces us to buy.
The Sunny Angels, that's been embarrassing.
There's so much where I'm on TikTok and I'm like, I just don't get it. Here we are trying to produce things to go viral every single day. You guys are doing the dumbest things that gets like 2.5-3 million hits.
I'll say a good one. Milk Crate Challenge. Bring it back. It was just stupid and dangerous enough. One of the best ever, I say.
Yeah, keep the Tide Pods in the laundry room, though. Not in your mouth.
The Burt Show.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Usually it comes from your friends. When they know who you're going out with and they know the guy also, they're like, don't go out with that guy. Don't go out with that guy. We know about him. It usually doesn't come from a professional, which is what happened this weekend with Abby and her blind date.
I basically got set up with a listener of the show, somebody who lives up in Indiana, and was like, I think I have this perfect guy for you. So you should just come to my wedding and that should be your first date. And I was like, okay. So that's what I did this weekend. Definitely. It's funny. It's didn't even feel like the most high pressure date I've ever been on. Like, I feel like I've been on other dates where I'm like, oh, everything feels like it's falling apart. But this was just felt like weirdly normal. I was like, yeah, I'm just up in Indiana. I'm chatting with the people, chatting with grandma, chatting with grandpa. And then here's this dude that's my friend from the internet now. We just went on this first date and we talked about it a little bit in the 7:30 hour. And so I'll pick up where I left off. So if you want like the full story, like if you want the dissertation, just go listen on the Burt Show podcast later. But where I left off was us finally meeting. And this is about 15 minutes before the ceremony. Things were running a little bit late. So we're all just kind of standing inside being like, what do we do? And then he comes and we start talking. I go on a 5-minute spiel about airports because I'm sexy. Like, yeah, let me get this like really good sensual small talk and just tell you how much I hate the Tampa airport. And so we're talking and he's like, well, I gotta go be a best man. Bye. And I'm like, you go do that. So we go down to the ceremony. That all happens. Kind of a funny little tidbit is it's this beautiful, beautiful ceremony. She walked down the aisle to Enchanted by Taylor Swift and her daughter's in the front row and I'm sitting right behind her daughter and her daughter is about 4 or 5, I think. And I know at that age, you got to do whatever you can to like make them entertained. And I guess she had a Barbie and like mid-ceremony as her grandfather is giving this beautiful speech, officiating this wedding. And I'm like tearing up because I'm like, oh, this is our listener. And she's like so in love with this man. They're so happy together. And her daughter's like stripping down this Barbie to now the Barbie is butt naked. And she's waving the Barbie around and she's like banging it around. And I'm like, this is so funny. Like, it's just, it felt really sweet. And I just kind of felt a part of the whole thing. Finally, we go back inside. They took like forever to take photos. I'm like, what are they doing? They're solving world peace. They're trying to figure out the housing crisis out there. And finally, he sits down and it just felt very comfortable, very normal. I'm like, oh, this is just, again, like I said, like this just doesn't feel weird at all. Mm-hmm. We danced together for most of the night. Again, took more tequila shots, probably housed about 12 of them that night. And we're just dancing and having a good time and chatting. And I just felt really a part of the whole group. It was great. Like, we're like dancing to No Hands, which is one of my favorite club songs to come on. And really, I feel like a lot of the fun happened like after the wedding, because there's all these like dive bars that you would expect to find in like middle of nowhere, yeah. Indiana, like pool bar, neon lights, pool bar,
awesome. Sounds
pool
great.
Table. It was great. And so again, we're again drinking more tequila. And this is the part of the night that I love most, because then you just get to like gossip. So me and him are sitting there at the bar and I'm asking him about his experience with, you know, trying to figure out if he wants to go out with this girl from the radio. And he goes, I have to be totally honest with you. I wasn't sure if this was going to go down because my assistant did some intel on you. And all I can feel is just like the room closing in on me, because this is like every first date I've ever been on. They're like, yeah, I Googled you and I saw your sugar daddy bit or whatever. And he goes,
that was not your, can I say this? Yeah. For anybody that is going to listen, that is contemplating dating Abby for the first time, when you go online, that was not her idea. It was my idea.
Yeah. They okay? never see it that way though. Right. Anyway, so I texted him about this and I was like, you need to tell me more about this PowerPoint that you got about me. Because apparently somebody at his work made a PowerPoint as to every reason he shouldn't go out with me. And basically, he said, honestly, it wasn't that great, but she's just saying, I'm looking out for you, and I want to make sure we find out everything we can about this girl early on. He didn't send me the actual PowerPoint because I feel like that's probably against company policy.
So I'm guessing, is this guy like a CEO? I mean, he has assistant. People are putting PowerPoints together. He must be a person of influence in his in his job.
That's what I got. I heard that and I was like, oh, you're like a big deal. Love that. So he says the first slide was the sugar daddy application questioning your intentions. But then I guess she listed a pro, and the pro was at least she admits what she's looking for and you can find this out early. And then the second slide was the breakup podcast, and it said you cannot be an a-hole at all or do anything for her to think that you are, because apparently I'll go on. She clearly didn't listen to the podcast because that's not what it's about. And then finally, the third slide was about the Burt Show being this big following, and it could be a massive PR risk. And then the fourth slide said, what if you tell them you knew nothing about this? Maybe legal can then get involved.
What?
And he goes, yeah, we were thinking about maybe sending the Burt Show a cease and desist.
What?
If we weren't into it. And so I was like, you must be insane to have agreed to this, because I'm like, this is my life. This is just an adventure. Yeah. I'm used to this. And I'm like, you're just getting wrapped up in this totally and completely and unexpectedly. So we had a really great time the rest of the night. We just spent most of the night driving around, listening to music and drinking tequila. But my mom has been sending me flights. She's like, we're going to Tampa next weekend. Do you want to come with us? And I'm like, oh my God, can we chill for 4 seconds? But I had a really great time. And we're still chatting. So it's been fun.
And what you told us, I want to underscore what you just said. They are still chatting. You don't need to say anything more than that. But yes, you guys are still chatting.
We're just still chatting. And my mom is like trying to justify spending $700 to fly me to Tampa this weekend.
The Burt Show.
I don't think I've ever done this before this weekend. Going through my head now, see if that's true. Literally watched and binged an entire series in one weekend.
Oh, you
one day.
Lit.
One day. Part of it was Amanda just wanted a couch/bed rot day.
Oh, a potato day.
That's exactly what she calls it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Where you literally just, either you're in the bed or on the couch all day, and you only move either to get sustenance or to pee.
Yep. Just put them big old sweats on and that big old t-shirt. And I'm like, I'm your ride or die girl. I'm right here with you. And I'm so glad I did. Were you guys fans of The Biggest Loser?
Mm-mm.
No? Okay. Maybe because I'm like so into fitness and health and stuff like that. And my friend Dolvet was a trainer on the show in the later years. I couldn't stop watching this documentary on Netflix right now. It's called Fit for TV.
Now, I do remember when Biggest Loser came out, it had a chokehold on the nation. Like, people were so invested in these contestants, in their stories.
Yes.
Like, I remember it being like must watch TV. And it was like the emotional quotient was always so high on it, especially at the end when they did the reveal of the contestants. So while I didn't like, I've seen clips and stuff like that, obviously, it wasn't like a show that I sat down and like religiously watched, like Bachelor back in the day and Dancing with the Stars. I mean, I wasn't going to miss an episode of that. Biggest Loser wasn't quite the same, but I remember it being like just tear inducing and people
yes.
crying, and they were getting so emotionally invested with these contestants.
Well, when a documentary comes out, it's usually not, hey, this was a really healthy show. Things were fantastic behind the scenes. It's a documentary on this show, and there's a lot of stuff in it that was shocking.
Really?
100% shocking. And I called Dolvet. I text him while I'm watching. I'm like, dude, you got to come on and talk about this. He's like, I haven't even watched it yet.
How has he not watched a documentary on the show that he was on?
I know, right? That's what I'm saying. So he sat down and he did the same thing. He binged the whole thing. And the text message I got back is, oh my God, this is wild. So I said, will you come on? So he's going to be on with us tomorrow, okay? Some of the shocking things, and they won't be as shocking to you guys because you didn't watch the show. And some of this I got from People Magazine, just kind of confirming the stuff that I thought was shocking. So in season 2, Suzanne was a contestant on the show, and she was so excited to be chosen to be on the show that when the producers called her up and were doing some calls with her, she's like, hey, I just want to let you know and show you I'm so serious about this that I've started to work out. I've already started to watch my diet. And she says, they said, stop. don't you dare start losing weight. We want you to gain weight before you come on the show. We don't want you to be healthy. Gain weight, stop exercising. And she wanted to be on the show so badly that she did it.
Okay, what? So like yeah. gaining weight, telling the contestants to gain weight is wild. Oddly, I understand them saying, don't lose weight, save that for the show. So you have a more dramatic weight loss reveal.
Yep.
But requesting to gain weight.
Stop what you're doing. Start eating.
That is insanely unhealthy.
They're like, here's some gift cards to McDonald's. Oh get your God. Butt Go. In the road right now. Get yourself a Whopper or whatever.
And you got to remember, I mean, this is only telling us what we already know about reality TV uh-huh. shows. It's so calculated. And there's really not a lot real about reality TV shows. So their calorie count was ridiculously low for how much they were working out. So at some point, some of the contestants were eating 800 calories a day. That's it, 800 calories a day. But they were burning 6,000.
Oh my God.
That sounds dangerous.
It was dangerous. And this is something else you'll learn about the documentary also, is that the doctor on the show and the trainers on the show predictably did not get along very well, because the doctors there going, this ain't right, you guys. And he would break off with some of the contestants and go, what they're telling you to do, you can't do that. You can't work out with that trainer anymore.
So the trainers and the doctors were at odds. One where doctor, did the producers yeah. come into play too? Like,
come on, where well. Did the producers come into play? Yeah. Yeah, we got to make money, right? Mm-hmm. Let's see, 8 hours a day, I told you. And also in season 8, there was a winner named Danny Cahill. He lost like 240 pounds, right? Amazing. When they show him on screen now telling his story about being on Biggest Loser, the first thing you notice and the first thing he says is, I put every pound back on.
Every wow. single pound?
Every pound back on, oh. which leads into another shocking moment, is that the show never really guided people once they were done. They just said, basically, you're on your own now. Hey, we've shown you how to work out. Of course, you don't have Jillian Michaels at your gym yelling at you and Bob Harper putting all that pressure on you. But they're like, all right, go ahead. You're on your own now. And most of these contestants put everything else back on.
Yeah, you would think that they would put together some kind of post-show plan to help them maintain the weight loss.
Nuh-uh. Now, I don't know what kind of insight Dovette will give us. He said that he can talk about everything. He's okay. like not sworn to any kind of contract. So he can talk about anything tomorrow morning when we have him on. Okay.
I was trying to look up and I haven't figured it out, because whenever you watch a documentary, it's super, super important to know who is behind the documentary, meaning like who foot the bill, who produced it, because you can get even though it's quote unquote a documentary,
yeah.
there it could be skewed one way or the other depending on who's behind it.
Well, I can assure you the producers at Biggest Loser weren't behind it, because it doesn't make them look good at all.
The Bert Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
In just a couple of minutes, we will start the greatest comeback ever in Gen X versus Gen Z trivia in the history of all the times we've ever played. This is going to be one of the greatest comebacks of all time.
All five times we played, huh? Yep.
That's what they said about that show, and just like that, and there that Gen X show is.
Yes.
So
how
mad.
Disappointed were you in that? Everybody online is talking crap about it.
I know, and I'm trying to honor the legacy that is the characters of Sex and the City. I don't want to be dismissive of Carrie and Miranda and Charlotte and Samantha and all they have given us over the years. But man, that finale was lacking. Why am I watching a however long show with a bunch of randos in there? I don't want to see these randos. I want to see the characters I know and love. And like, I get where they were going, just the way they took to get there. Not a fan.
Sorry, man.
You're the only one worried about honoring the legacy, because the writers were truly not thinking about the legacy when they made that show.
They were off, man.
When I started seeing turds plop up in that backed up toilet, I'm like, this is not what I envisioned for our ladies of New York City.
It's over at that point. All right, let's get into it. Of course, representing Gen X, Kristen and Bart.
We are Gen X. You can't plug in a destination. We are Gen X. You cannot find a location. We are Gen X.
We should have given them 1 point right off the bat because their theme song is better than ours, Gen Z.
She is the name of my generation. You better get ready for a revolution.
All right, Kristen and I will attempt to answer questions that Gen Z for sure would know because they're from their generation, and vice versa here with Gen Z and Gen X.
All right, guys, you're down 8 points to Gen Z's 10 points.
And again, if you guys are listening and asking, when is this game going to be over? What's the finish line? It's done when Kristen and I are leading by two.
Oh, my God. Should we just throw this game at
you? Just give up the game and move on.
I'm getting sick of this.
Wow. You had to defend the Gen Z honor.
But, you know, before we even get into it, I want to honor Kristen here, Gen Xer, who dragged herself in through a fog of post-COVID, who's not even thinking clearly today. Oh, look at that. So we're already at a disadvantage, and I'm short.
All right, to the questions. Gen X, her TikTok fame landed her family their own TV show called The D'Amelio Show. Mm-hmm. What is the name of Charlie D'Amelio's younger sister?
Oh.
Charlie D'Amelio. It begins with an A. I know that much.
What's up? That wasn't That wasn't the answer or the final answer. We're just talking. Okay,
I didn't even hit anything.
That's just a hint.
Okay, so I know out of all the letters in the alphabet, it doesn't start with an A.
I'll tell you this much. Maybe it doesn't even have an A in it.
Tommy, this is enough. Shut up.
Hey, I'm the host of this game.
Okay, so I got the A in Emilio. Okay. Right. Charlie D'Amelio.
And Sissy.
No, it is not Sissy.
It's close.
Okay, let's go. Sissy A, D'Amelio. B, Bella. No, A, B, C, D.
It is.
D, F, G. There's no A in it.
I feel like it would be a DD name, like a Debbie or a Deborah or a.
Deborah. Deborah's pretty good.
Deborah D'Amelio.
Try that out. Oh.
Deborah D'Amelio.
Deborah.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Tommy,
shut up.
I didn't say anything. That wasn't me. We've been having pots
and stuff. I'm
going to
go with Ethel D'Amelio.
Yes, nailed it.
Cecil.
Cecil.
I'm sorry. It was Dixie D'Amelio.
The D would have worked.
Yeah, I never would have got there.
There's an issue with that question, isn't there?
What?
That's not her younger sister, is it?
I don't know. I got older, the question.
She doesn't have a younger sister, though.
So, yeah. Oh, you guys could declare shenanigans.
Yeah, this game right here is filed under protest.
Whatever. All right, Gen Z. When Angelina Jolie was married to Billy Bob Thornton, what biohazard did she wear around her neck?
What biohazard? I know. His blood.
Oh. All right. Okay.
She wore a little vial of his blood around her neck. Reading that somewhere? Hee hee, because I read. I'm like the rest of my generation.
Yesterday's MGK.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
11 to 8.
Wow. The gap widens.
This game is never ending.
No, it's not.
In a bombshell twist, who was revealed to be the anonymous gossip blogger, Gossip Girl, in the season finale?
I never watched this show.
What? Rebecca's kicking her feet back there for sure.
This was such a pop culture moment.
You want the actress's name or do you want the character's name?
I will accept either.
Gossip Girl. Who was in Gossip Girl?
Well, Kristen Bell was the voiceover in Gossip Girl. And Gossip Girl also had Blake Lively in it. Mm-hmm. This was pre-Nose Job.
Yes.
Leighton Meester was also in it.
Mm-hmm.
So
cold!
Can you stop talking?
How does Kristen know so much about this movie, but you don't know the answer?
It's not a movie, it's a TV show.
Whatever. I'm more of a Radio Rebel guy myself.
And the only reason I know is because I know of Blake Lively and I know her history. And Leighton Meester was just in Buccaneers. And so I read up on that there. But as far as like watching an episode of Gossip Girl, never seen one.
Not 1 second.
All right.
Me.
So.
Okay, damn it.
And Taylor Mumford.
Uh-huh.
Taylor Mumford. I do love it when you guys just make up names. Though. Why don't you guys just make up a Gossip Girl character and guess? You choose Blake, Layton.
He already gave us the buzzer.
None of the names you have said are correct.
Okay. What was it?
Dan Humphrey, the actor, was Penn Badgley.
Oh, really? Was the Gossip Girl?
Even he was surprised. He's like, I think they wrote that in at the last episode.
Okay.
All right. To take even a further lead, Gen Z. Who shot JR?
I had dinner with him.
In the heck is JR?
How could we forget?
I will say I did not complete the question. I will tell you it was on the TV show Dallas.
Oh, okay. Dallas. No idea. Wait, so, this ain't Dallas, this ain't Dynasty. Whatever.
Thanks
That's
for
as
the,
much as I got, just a song lyric.
Thanks for the lead, Mikey.
Had you guys ever even heard of that show?
Yeah, I've heard
just
of Dallas.
Just from
yeah.
one song.
Well, obviously, it was his evil twin, RJ.
Good call.
I'm going to go with his obvious evil more rich twin, RJ, of Dallas.
Literally, we can just sit back. We can do whatever we want right now.
He had no twin, and his brother's name was Bobby, and he was shot by Kristen Shepherd, his sister-in-law and former
mistress. Of course. Shocking. The entire country was talking about it.
Spoiler
Sorry.
Alert.
Yeah.
I can't believe that. How could you do that?
Did you guys know that?
I did not know.
I did not know that either. So what do we got going into tomorrow? We're at what?
11-8.
11.
They gained a point. You gained zilch.
All right. We got to start doing some homework, man. I don't want to lose it. Actually, I just want this thing to be over. So we need to win by two, okay?
Okay.
All right.
The Burt Show.
We're doing 100 days of Good Goes Round, and over the last couple of days was day 76, day 77, 78, and 79.
The Burt Show's 100 days of Good Goes Round.
All right, so before we move forward with what happened over the weekend, let's go backwards for a second. You guys remember Miss Clowers, that really enthusiastic teacher that we had on Friday?
Mm-hmm.
She was awesome.
She was incredible. You could just feel the energy through her message because she was looking for help with her wish list so she can provide for her students.
Kristen wants to get her on every week.
I think Monday motivation with Miss Flowers would be, or Miss Clowers, excuse me, would be phenomenal.
After hearing her talk, I was like, I would follow that woman into war.
Yes.
Right?
She hyped me up.
That's who I want hanging out with my kids, right? Here is she thanking you guys for everything you did for her class.
Hello, The Burt Show. I am Stephanie Clowers, and I teach all grade levels at the Martin Luther King Jr. Elementary School. I just wanted to say how delighted, how grateful I am for all of you guys for fulfilling my teacher's wish list. I know that my children are going to enjoy all of the amazing things that you guys have helped me purchase for them. They're going to not even probably want to learn or pay attention to what I am going to say. They're going to be so focused on that corner that is dedicated to them, just for their time, their comfort zone. I appreciate you guys so much. My children are going to enjoy everything. I don't know how to express my gratitude to each and every one of you guys for listening in and dedicating your time to my classroom and dedicating your time to those children that need someone to care or someone to think outside of the box of your everyday learning and teaching experience. So I just want to say thank you once again, Burt Show, for everything that you have done for me and my classroom here at the Martin Luther King Jr. Elementary School. We are so happy. We're so grateful. We're so delighted for all of you guys to be a part of my classroom. Thank you so much.
That's a big old thank you to you guys. Mm-hmm. All right. Then there was Saturday. Rebecca, how'd you help out?
Yes, I participated in Dog for the Day with DeKalb Lifeline Animal Services, where I got to take out little Brundle, who was so cute. But heads up, if you foster or adopt Brundle, do not take him on a walk on the Beltline. He will make you carry him the entire way.
Shut up.
He just wanted to go home and watch Emily in Paris. I get it, but I totally recommend Dog for the Day. It's so much fun to do.
How do people just sign up to like just hang out with a dog for a day?
Literally, Google Dog for the Day. There's DeKalb and there's Fulton, where I actually got my dog, Miggy, Lifeline Services, and you can apply for a dog.
Awesome. All right, then you got Sunday, a whole bunch of things to cover on Sunday.
A lot of fun things on Sunday. I flew up for a listener's wedding to hang out with her, and I think that was one of the reasons why I just had such a good time was I'm like, my one job here is to make sure that I'm representing her Burt Show family well and having a good time with her and making sure that that dance floor stays packed.
Who else?
Tommy.
Me. I remember the guy, his wife called in, and he needed a movie friend. Well, I invited him over to my house a while back, and we watched a movie there. But then last night, he invited me. We went out to dinner and a movie. And we went to see a romantic movie together, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It was like the anniversary of it. So we checked that out last night. So I've made a lifetime friendship out of this thing. We're going to be friends for a long time.
Awesome. Mikey helped out yesterday.
Yeah, well, this isn't like the grandest gesture or anything, but we're out on a walk with Reggie and went to Taco Bell. I met this homeless guy named Murphy. He wanted some tacos, bought the man some tacos. Went to a gas station. A homeless guy wanted some tea. I got him tea.
Okay, that's plenty.
That is plenty.
That is plenty.
All right, and then for today, so I got the sweetest DM from a Burt Show listener. His name is Jake, and he said, "Hey, Kristen, I've been an active listener for about 4 years now and love every bit of it when I drive to work around 8 a.m. till 8:30, 8:45 every morning. Recently, my wife wrote a kids nighttime book, and I thought, what better way to promote it but by radio? And what better person to tell, aka you? Hopefully, Jimmy will love it. The book is called If You Give a Baby a Pickle by Caitlin Wilson. It is currently on Amazon, and I know all the moms in the world would love to read it to their youngins. Would be awesome for a shout out on the morning radio."
We're the morning radio.
We are the morning radio.
That's us.
So I got Jake's DM and I didn't hit him up. I actually just went to Amazon and I purchased the book, If You Give a Baby a Pickle, and it came to my house. So here is me reading. So you get like a little bit of a book teaser. Here's me reading the book to Jimmy the other night before we went to bed.
If You Give a Baby a Pickle by Caitlin Wilson. So Caitlin's husband hit me up and said his wife wrote a baby book and wanted us to check it out. And she dedicated it to her kids, Landon and Liam.
Landon and Liam? Liam's my cousin.
Liam is your cousin. That's his name as well. If you give a baby a pickle, he's going to make a funny face. When he makes a funny face, he'll start to giggle all over the place.
Giggle all over the place.
His giggle will shake his tiny rattle, and then you'll hear him start to babble.
Babble? What's a babble?
Babble. Babble. You remember when you do baby talk and gibberish?
Yeah.
That's babbling.
Which I tell him to stop doing all the time. It drives me crazy. But so we read the book, and we had a blast. And so I hit up Jake, and I was like, hey, FYI, we're going to be highlighting your wife's book for 100 Days of Good Goes Round. Would you like to come on? And he says, I'll do you one better. Here's my wife's number. I would love my wife to talk about her book. So, Caitlin, welcome to the Burt Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. How did it feel to hear me reading the book to Jimmy before he went to bed?
Surreal, I think, is the biggest word for that. It is out of this world. I'm so glad y'all loved it.
So what possessed you to write a kid's book, and where does the pickle come in?
Totally fair. So a little background, I'm actually a pediatric OT, and I dabble in a good bit of feeding therapy. So with, I've got a 4-year-old as well and our 8-month-old. And so I wanted to try to do all the different foods, and I was eating a pickle from Jimmy John's, and I was like, let me just see what Liam thinks. And his reaction got us all cackling. He loved it.
Really?
Yes. So I snapped a quick picture and a little video and just knew we had to kind of make it more than just that. With the amount of people that crave pickles, I feel like when they're pregnant, it just seemed full circle that this would be super relatable. And here we are.
And then I think your husband had mentioned that you've also written another book.
I have, actually. A few weeks ago, If You Give a Toddler a Dino Nugget.
A dino nugget.
I have those in my freezer right now.
We do too. I think we should honestly have stock in dino nuggets.
Uh-huh. Is there anything you would like to say to your sweet husband for hitting me up? Like he did listen, Caitlin, he slid into my DMs, but it was for a good cause and it was all about you, girl.
Hey, I'm here for it. I thank you, Jake, very much. We're high school sweethearts, so we've been through about 13 years and love that man to death. Yeah. Thank you, babe.
If you want to check out Caitlin Wilson's book, If You Give a Baby a Pickle, you can find it on Amazon.
Thanks, Caitlin.
Yes, thanks for the shout out. Have a great day.
You too.
The Burt Show. Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.